Okay, it's after Purim. It says in Shulchan Aruch that the earlier Chachamim decreed in the time of the Beis Hamikdash that the Chachamim used to have, the rabbis used to have to teach the laws of Pesach 30 days before Pesach. Not only 30 days before Pesach, 30 days before Shavuos, and 30 days before Sukkot. The reason for that was, when it came Yom Tov, in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, everybody had to bring korbanos, sacrifices, a few sacrifices. There was Eilasriya, Eilachal Shlomim, Korban Pesach, and Pesach. And there were a lot of dinim involved. What's the kosher animals, you know, blemishes. So therefore the Chachamim, this is in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. They instituted that 30 days before Pesach, you have to start learning the dinim of Pesach. There's an interesting machlekes when it says 30 days. Does that mean the day after Purim, or does it include Purim or not? There's two opinions, and Halacha d'Alter Rebbe says from Purim and onward, which means even on Purim, you're really supposed to start learning the dinim of Pesach because it's 30 days before Pesach. So therefore, we're going to start learning the dinim of Pesach because there's a lot to learn. So we'll start with the general dinim. And that is that the Arizal writes that whoever is nizar mimashu chametz bePesach, whoever is meticulous, even with one drop, one iota, one mashu, one nothing of chametz on Pesach, is, so to speak, guaranteed they won't sin for the year. That doesn't mean you don't have free choice. But I'm saying Pesach because chametz symbolizes evil, avedus. The Gemara calls the Yetzahara the Sa'ur Shabisa, the yeast of the dough. So therefore, basically, when it comes to Pesach, people have to be extremely careful in chametz. Now, normally, when it comes to treif for food, the Torah says you can't eat it. Most treif for animals you can benefit from. You can't eat a pig, but you're allowed to benefit from a pig. You can make a football, pigskin, belts and pigskin jackets and pigskin footballs, and I mean, you're allowed to benefit from it, you just can't eat it. Not only that, there's no concept in Torah of searching for pig, make sure you have no pig in your house. Okay? Yet when it comes to chametz on Pesach, not only is it forbidden to eat, it's forbidden to benefit from. Not only is it forbidden to eat and forbidden to benefit, but chametz never is nullified on Pesach, which means that we know meat and milk, treif and kosher, if you have, let's say, you're cooking chicken soup, and 1 ounce of milk falls into 70 ounces of chicken soup, so it's nullified 1 in 60. So therefore, the soup would be kosher. Chametz on Pesach, though, is never nullified, which means you can have 1 ounce of chametz with a vinegar, let's say, which is chametz, let's say a kosher Pesach, and it falls into a whole massive chicken matzo ball soup. On Pesach, the whole thing's treif. It's chametz dik. Now you got the pot is treif, you have to kosher the pot. I mean, it's, the chametz and Pesach is very strict. And the Rishonim write, Taisus writes, another Rishonim write, that because a person is accustomed to chametz a whole year, when it came Pesach, the Torah is stricter, meaning you're not allowed to see chametz that belongs to you, you're not allowed to own chametz, even if you don't see it, you're not allowed to own chametz. Torah says you have to, the chacham say, you have to search for the chametz, b'dikas chametz, you have to search for the chametz. Again, we don't have searching any other non-kosher food. Why do you have to search for chametz? Because again, because chametz you're accustomed to a whole year. Pig, you don't eat a whole year. So chametz, because you're accustomed to it a whole year, so therefore the Torah was the chametz was strict, you can't see chametz that belongs to you, you can't own chametz that's yours, I mean, obviously. And you have to do bedikas chametz and make sure you get rid of chametz. Now years ago, people didn't have refrigerations, they didn't have freezers. Basically it was using everything you had, you used. So years ago, when it came Pesach, people just managed to get rid of everything in the house before Pesach. So there's no chametz left. Even the utensils, technically, they would be able to clean them out, put them away, even if you didn't sell them. You just put them away. As long as you don't use them, it's fine. Okay? But nowadays, it's a world of a difference. We have freezers full of stuff, refrigerators full of stuff. We have liquor cabinets. We have cereals. I mean, you have all these things that you have in your house. So now the question is, when it comes before Pesach, what do? You have to throw out everything from the house. I mean, like, what do? So even though it's not mentioned clearly in the Mishnah as an advice to do, it's mentioned in the Braisa, but this became later a practical solution in Aloch based on the Mishnah and the Braisa of telling stories that took place. And that is, we sell the chametz. We sell chametz. Now, what do you mean we sell the chametz? The Torah says, you're not allowed to own chametz. But if I don't own it, if I don't own the chametz, then it's not mine. Okay, so it's not a problem. So therefore, what do? We sell chametz before Pesach to the goy. Just for informational purposes, when you go to the rabbi and you put your name on the list to sell the chametz for you, you are not selling the chametz to the rabbi. The Rebbe did, but that was an exceptional case, because the Rebbeim didn't want to sell anything to a goy. But normally, all you're doing is giving the power of attorney to the rabbi to sell the chametz for you on Erev Pesach. This year we don't sell chametz Erev Pesach because Erev Pesach is Shabbos. So we sell it a day earlier, Friday morning this year, which is really a day before Erev Pesach. So therefore, what we need to do is sell the chametz to the goy. But in order for that to work legally, it has to be a legal transaction. You can't say to a person, okay, I give you this. I mean, it's still mine. You have to acquire it. There's a ways of acquisition that Torah says you acquire things and the ways you don't acquire things. And therefore it says in Halacha, people should not make their own sale with the guy that's privately, because if you don't know what you're doing, and it could be complicated, if you don't know what you're doing, then you're basically not selling your chametz to the guy. You still own chametz. Now, if a Jew owned chametz over Pesach, the din is, the chametz, rabbinically, is forbidden to benefit from after Pesach. A Jew that owned chametz during Pesach is not allowed to benefit from that chametz even after Pesach. You have to throw it out. You can't even give it as a present to somebody, because when I give somebody a present, there creates a friendship between the two people, and that's benefit. You definitely can't sell it. All you could do is basically throw it out. What?
So if it's a real transaction and the boy refuses to sell it back to you,
you have a problem.
The court will hold on that it belongs to the boy?
Yeah. Yeah. It is a legal transaction. Obviously, you pick a guy that knows what the. But watch, I'll give an example. What happens? What happens if a guy dies? You sell the chametz to the guy. In the middle of Pesach, the guy dies. So what do?
After.
No. There's a din inheritance by goyim too. So you buy back from his wife, from his kids.
For less,
for more, I mean, whatever. I mean, the whole way, I'll explain the way the way the thing goes. The guy makes some money on the deal, by the way. I mean, you give him, he makes some good money on it. And he doesn't do too much. So basically, you have to sell the chametz in a legal transaction to the guy. Now, what?
First, one side question. What is this with blue suit you wear? Whoa. What is this?
Thanks. Anyway.
So, question. My real question.
What's your question about Hilchos Pesach? No, that's what I'm saying. It is not a symbolic transaction. The guy literally owns the chametz. Not only do you sell the chametz, okay, we sell all the utensils that are chametzdik. And we'll learn why you can't use those utensils on Pesach. But basically, you're selling all your pots and pans, all your cutlery, all your dishes. That's also selling to the goy. To the extent that there are many opinions that say that really, after Pesach, you should have to table all your dishes in the mikveh because you're buying them back from a goy. And when you buy dish kalim from a goy, you have to table them in the mikveh. One second. Therefore, many opinions hold, by the way, that you don't sell the goy. You don't sell the goy, the dish, the pot. You sell him the chametz that's in the pot and pan. But the Rebbe said in the Sicha that the Alter Rebbe doesn't hold like that. In fact, the Sharkel holds like that. But the Rebbe writes the Alter Rebbe does not hold like that. The Alter Rebbe in the document that he has for Mechiras Chametz writes, you're selling the actual pot. And there's a whole Sicha from the Rebbe why you don't have to table it anyway. There's a Sicha from the Rebbe explaining why halachically you wouldn't have to table it, even though you're actually selling the pots to the goy. Yeah. Right. Huh?
Oh. About chikras.
Yeah.
Right. If you told your dishes before selling them to the goy, why would you have to?
Because when you buy dishes from a goy, you have to table them. Doesn't matter. But now a goy owned them. You buy dishes from a goy, you would have to table them.
Does he have access to
them? So what's the reason that the Rebbe says that?
So the Rebbe explains because the fact is the goy doesn't have, he could have access. Halachically, he must have access. If you don't give the guy access to the chametz, then it's not a legal transaction. It's like I sell you something, I'm not letting you get it. I mean, the Torah says, "Lo yedo'eh l'cha chametz." Yours. Okay. But if it's not yours, the Gemara says, "Shalacha i'atareya, aval atareya shalachen v'shal hegdesh." You could see what's not yours. In fact, even when you sell the chametz to the guy, you can't leave the chametz stick of things out. They have to be covered, put away behind the mechitza of some sort. Well, the Torah says you can't own chametz on Pesach. If I sell it to the guy, I don't own it. What's the big deal? Why is it a loophole? What do you want, people to throw out thousands of dollars?
No, I don't want that.
No. People have a lot of dishes. Years ago, what did they have? They had one plate for milchiks, one plate for fleishiks, and one pot. You know what did they have? Today you have china sets, and you have bars in your house full of liquor, which is mamash chametz, right? People can have expensive liquor. What do you to tell people to throw out? Throw out all their cereals, all their pastas, all their, you can't.
Cereal, pasta, no problem, not tequila.
How does the guy have access to the chametz? So one of the kinyonim that you do with the guy, you give the guy a key to the houses. Now, years ago,
you have to tell the story you tell every year. It's a great story. It's about right now. You usually tell it right now. What happened after Yom Tov when you couldn't find the good?
That was a different. Yeah, but that's not what we're talking about now.
You have to give him the alarm code too, otherwise, you aren't going to get anything. You just have to touch the key. That's
no, it has to be in a way. Okay. Years ago, the Rebbe writes it's not done anymore. But years ago, everybody that sold the chametz threw the rav to the guy, gave the rav a key to the house, who in other words, gave it to the guy. So the guy really had access. The Rebbe writes, even for me, don't do it today. So most people don't do it today. What else? What? You give the guy a key to your house. If a guy would come, okay, everybody knows we sell it to Herman. If Herman would come to your house in the middle of Pesach and say, excuse me, I'd like to go to your tequila or your vodka or your whatever.
Where is
he? He's around. I speak to him. Anyway, so you need to give him access. If you deny access, it's not a mechira. It's not a legal transaction. So that means if you violate terms of an agreement, it's not an agreement. No. The question is it a transaction or not? Part of the transaction is that the guy has access to it. If you're not giving him access to it, then that deal is null and void.
Why would it be null and void instead of just having some damages? He can go and collect the stuff. He can go to Bezdin and get it from you.
Okay, so, but he's not going to do that. He'll back off the mechira. You're breaking the deals of the contract. So the guy has to have access to it. I mean, the guy's not interested, basically, when you said, practically speaking, when you sell it to the guy, he's not really interested. But there are different ways. Oh, okay.